Welcome to Israel and You, bringing Israel and the Jewish people into focus. Our host is Aaron David Free, president of Israel Team Advocates International. Aaron is an author, speaker, Bible teacher, and an advocate for Israel and the Jewish people on college campuses nationwide. This is Israel and You.
Welcome to Israel and You, and today it's my esteemed privilege to have on the program Dr. Charles Asher Small. Charles is the executive director of the Institute for the Study of Global Antisemitism and Policy, also known as ISGAP. Dr. Charles Small is the founding director of this organization. He is also the director of ISGAP Wolf Institute Fellowship Training Program in Critical Contemporary Antisemitism Studies at the Wolf Institute in Cambridge in the United Kingdom, and was an academic advisor, visitor at St. Anthony's College, Oxford University. He's also the Goldman Fellow, Harold Hartig School of Government and Policy, and the Senior Research Fellow, Moshe Dayan Center for Middle East and African Studies, Tel Aviv University. Previously, he was Corrett Distinguished Fellow, Hoover Institution at Stanford University. So it's so wonderful to have you today, Charles, on Israel and You. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here. Thanks for having me.
So today, Charles, I want to talk about follow the money. And you've been on a journey the last several years, a journey that led to Texas A&M University's board shutting down their campus in the country, the radical Islamic country of Qatar, on February 8th, 2024, just a month ago. And when that happened, you came out in ISGAP and you made this statement. We commend the Board of Regents for their courageous and morally principled stance. This is the Board of Regents of Texas A&M University. By reevaluating Texas A&M's presence in Qatar, the board has demonstrated a commitment to academic integrity, ethical principles, and national security concerns. This is an important statement affirming that there is no place in the U.S. Academy for billions of dollars coming from a state that supports and funds terror and promotes and spreads the extremist Islamist ideology from the Muslim Brotherhood. So could you kind of explain, Charles, the evolution of the backstory of that statement from February 8th, 2024? What happened, and how did you perceive there was a money trail coming from the country of Qatar, not just to Texas A&M, but other universities in the United States?
All right. So it's been a long journey. It started around 2012, actually. Okay. I founded a research center at Yale University. It was the first research center at a North American university that was dealing with issues of anti-Semitism. And it was the first of its kind, and it was a very successful research center. And we were there for 6 years, and one day we received notification that the center was going to be closed. And it's very odd for a successful research center to be closed. The scholars connected to ISGAP, the philanthropists that funded it, and Yale was actually matching dollar for dollar the money that we were raising for it. It was a successful entity. Our staff, our philanthropists, our scholars, nobody was ever given a reason why it was closed. At the same time, there was a professor, Michael Oren, who later became the ambassador, the Israeli ambassador to the United States. Michael Oren is a leading historian and professor. He was voted on several occasions the most popular professor at Yale, very successful scholar, historian. And he applied for a tenure-track position and was denied tenure because he was perceived as being too Zionist, too Jewish, really.
Wow.
So he left. And around the same time, there was a research center that dealt with human rights abuses in Iran, and they were also mysteriously closed down, and all the connections from Yale were removed. So it was very odd. So within a six-month period, my colleagues and I were fired. Michael Oren was fired. And the center on Iran was closed down as well.
Wow.
So we didn't understand why. About 18 months later, after Yale, I went to Stanford University. And I'll never forget this evening, one night, I was late. I'm usually late with my with my deadlines. I was finishing a manuscript for a book, and I was a few weeks late for the deadline. And it was, you know, I was pulling all-nighters and writing and finishing the book. And finally, you know, one evening at about 2 a.m. out in Palo Alto, I sent the manuscript off to the publisher, and I was very relieved. But, you know, when you work hard for weeks and you don't sleep or eat properly, you're kind of wired. So I was sitting there at 2 a.m. looking at newspapers and sports, you know, scores and just surfing the net. And then I came across an email from one of the vice presidents of Yale, who was very anti-Israel, very anti-Jewish. And I Googled him. It turned out he worked for a pharmaceutical company in Cambridge, Massachusetts. I Googled the company. It turns out it was owned by a Saudi businessman that turned out to be a terror financer. He was giving money to terrorists, to Al-Qaeda. And he was he had a factory in Sudan that the Clinton administration, I don't know if people remember, bombed and removed. So he owned that factory. This gentleman was giving money to Yale. And at around the same time he started giving money to Yale, this is when we were all of us were removed from the university. Wow. So I started, I do research on social theory and philosophy, not on terror financing. Mm-hmm. But this sort of led me on the odyssey. And I brought my preliminary research of banks and foundations that were giving money to Yale through this company and through this gentleman. And I checked it with experts in security studies, and this sort of led me on the journey.
And so when I was at Oxford 2 summers ago, it was first I've heard of this, and ISGAP had partnered with a forensic accountant from Tel Aviv, and I'd never even heard of such a phrase, a forensic accountant. And so he began to follow the money trail, not only from this gentleman, but from the country of Qatar. And so what have you discovered that led to this decision by the board of A&M, Texas A&M, on February 8th last month?
Right. So, Aaron, from 2012 to 2019, I worked with a family friend who's a forensic accountant and another researcher who's an expert on the Muslim Brotherhood in the United States. And we found $3 billion in undocumented money from the Muslim Brotherhood, from the anti-democratic, anti-Semitic social movement. They were sending money into American universities.
And that's billion with a B, right, Charles? Billion.
Correct.
Yeah,
B
wow.
With a for a billion.
Yeah.
And you have to remember the $3 billion that we found was probably the tip of the iceberg, because it was really myself, an expert on the Muslim Brotherhood, and a family friend who was retired. Mm-hmm. We presented our findings in Washington in 2019 to a summit on anti-Semitism, and I presented our findings in front of the Attorney General, the head of Homeland Security, the director of the FBI, the Secretary of Education. It was sort of the top 100 government officials that were there. And because of our research, the federal government in 2019 launched an investigation into undocumented money coming into the United States. They, within 8 months of their investigation, they were able to find $18 billion, with a B, dollars of foreign money coming into the United States. And this was money from China, from Russia, and also from radical Islamists. When the Biden administration came into power, the investigation was called off. And I guess because of our success in 2019, we were able to raise more money. There were much more interest in what we were doing, and we expanded our project. So we have a group of accountants who are experts in terror financing. We have a group of experts in the Muslim Brotherhood and how they're operating in the United States. And now, you know, fast forward nearly 4 years later, we found tens of billions, with a B, of dollars of money coming in from radical Islamists to our best universities. We found, for example, $1.3 billion that was given by Qatar to Texas A&M. Hmm. Texas A&M actually set up a campus in Qatar. There's six American universities that have campuses there: Cornell, Georgetown, Carnegie Mellon, Texas A&M, Northwestern, and there's a few other French, British, and Canadian universities there. And we found that the Qataris have an agreement with Texas A&M that in the agreement, Qatar gives Texas A&M $1.3 billion, and they own all of the intellectual property rights for all the research projects that's being done by Texas A&M scholars. We found 502 research projects that Qatar now owns, and we found 57 projects that could have military and nuclear research capabilities.
So unbelievable.
We published the report in November of 2023, just a few months ago, and we actually published two reports. The second volume came out a few weeks ago. And we were pleased that the Regents, the organization that oversees the Texas A&M university system, voted 7-1 to close their campus. And we applaud this decision for, you know, in the name of academic freedom and American security concerns. And we also did reports on Cornell. We found $1.95 billion that Qatar gave to Cornell University. And they built them a state-of-the-art medical school and hospital. The infrastructure for that medical school and hospital is about $8 billion. Georgetown is there with billions of dollars of funding. So this is really, you know, infiltrating our most important and sensitive institution in democracy, higher education. This is where young Americans learn to be citizens, and they're being influenced by a regime that is, you know, radical Islamist regime that's out to weaken and destroy the United States. It's a country with less than 350,000 citizens, and they're giving more money to American universities than any other country on the planet. So it's very odd. And, so we believe that this is sort of a danger to our security and a danger to our democratic principles.
You know, Charles, I was talking a few months ago with Bill Kohlbrenner, who's a senior research fellow at ISGAP. And he was saying, we were talking about the money trail and following the money that, you know, ISGAP has been on this journey for years now, trying to uncover these undocumented funds coming in from radical Islamic Qatar and the Muslim Brotherhood. But he said there's something dark and sinister. And he said that what's happening is, these funds are funding Middle East Studies Department directors who are anti-Zionist, anti-Semitic, and they really maybe so much don't land on the scholarship arena, but they're activists at heart. They're anti-Semitic activists. So is this possibly one of the reasons why you're seeing on campuses just this, the opening of the BIS, and it seems like it's all being, you know, rubber stamped by the universities and allowed to go on, the anti-Semitic, you know, chanting that from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, the three university professors that sat before Congress and couldn't say that anti-Semitism and calls for genocide against Jews is actually, you know, an anti-Semitic statement. So is this possibly what's behind that, Charles?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is one of the major reasons, the major causes of anti-Semitism in the United States of America. And I think we have to remember that American and Swiss security officials about 40 years ago uncovered documents. It's called The Project. A group of radical Islamists got together and created sort of a strategic plan to weaken America. The first phase of the plan was to find ways to distance Israel from America and from the West. because the staunch support of democracies in Europe and certainly in the United States in to Israel, the one democratic country in the region, was very important not only to the West, but Israel's presence was a strong democratic pro-American country that Israel is, was in the way of radical Islamists taking over the entire region of the Middle East and replacing it with a radical Islamist caliphate. Mm. So they wanted to distance Israel from the West, and we were beginning to see the radical members of Congress and even in the Senate pushing this agenda. Then they wanted to use anti-Semitism to create anti-Semitism in America to fragment and to weaken American society. So after the October 7th massacre, I think the thing that shocked Americans the most was on October the 9th, that Monday, when students and professors went back to their campuses, they were met with an explosion of hate, of hatred against Jewish people, and really, I think, the politics that were just anti-American and anti-democratic and just anti-human decency. And, you know, if you're taking tens, if not more than tens of billions of dollars, it could be over $100 billion that we found, and we're a small research center. So if the government of the United States really did an investigation into this, I'm sure with their resources and expertise and tools, that they'll find more money that's been going to American universities from anti-democratic, anti-American, sexist, racist, anti-Semites. So of course, this will have, I would say, a very strong bearing on the anti-democratic nature of a lot of the sort of political discourse and the education and curriculum that's being taught at the best schools in our country. And it's from the best schools in our country where, you know, future professors, future journalists, and future leaders of industry and governments are going to go through and learn. And I find this to be, you know, a national security threat. And I think we hope that the authorities will investigate this.
You know, Charles, as you're talking, I think I'm asking the question. I know the listeners are asking the question. This is like a steamroller. It's like, you know, you're like David going up against Goliath. And a small, relatively small Jewish global population and small Jewish population here in America. And here it is, this huge infrastructure, highly funded, that's anti-Zionist, anti-Semitic. So just on a personal level, Charles, you know, when you wake up in the morning and you see this huge issue and this problem that's so well funded, I mean, how do you make it through a day, right, in fighting this thing? And over the weekend, there was a rabbi at the conference that you and I attended on the Scholars Conference on the Holocaust. And I asked him that question, and he said, well, you know, we may not be winning the fight presently, but we're not going to give up. And I appreciate the fighting spirit. But, you know, you as a Jewish man, how is it, you know, personally that you face this on a daily basis?
It's a good question. So, look, I think, you know, the Jews have been here for a long time. My ancestors have gone through, you know, all sorts of trials and tribulations, and, you know, yet I'm here. You know, we've talked about this. I'm from the Levite tribe, so there's a pedigree there. You know, I'm carrying on a tradition. So I think I have faith in God, that there's a role for the Jewish people, and our role is to help heal the world. My ultimate goal in this life as a Jewish person, my teachings, you know, instruct me that my goal is to try to make this place a little bit better before I die. So this is what I'm trying to do. And so I have faith in God, but I also I also have faith in the United States of America. I think the United States of America, Americans are decent people. And I believe if Americans start to understand how their country is being attacked, not kinetically by missiles and tanks, although the radical Islamists are actually, you know, killing American servicemen in the Middle East as we speak and attacking them on a daily basis. But there's also a very important threat to our democracy that when these radical Islamists are giving tens of billions of dollars to our most sensitive institutions, our higher education universities, I believe that when Americans find out what is going on and how the leaders of these corrupt, they're not even universities, they're simple, they've become corporations, and they're not safeguarding the interests of the students and their education, which is so important and so fragile, if you will. They're not giving them a good education in democracy anymore. And when the leaders of universities are selling their souls for two pieces of silver, when the leaders of the universities are unable to condemn unequivocally the calls for the extermination of their students and their faculty members, i.e. Right. Jewish people, Jewish professors and students, something is wrong. And I truly believe as Americans wake up to this horrible situation in our country, in our midst, I believe that they will not tolerate it. And, you know, the Americans played a crucial role in ending the Second World War, winning the Second World War and ending the Holocaust. They were late to the table. I wish they would have entered the war years earlier to stop the spread of Nazism. I hope the American people will stand up to radical Islam, to the Iranian revolutionary regime, which is on the cusp of getting a nuclear weapon, and stop these Qatari people and other radical Wahhabi Muslims to fund our universities. It's insane. And there's something, you know, I think Americans are decent, and I think we will prevail.
So I agree.
I'm optimistic despite the challenges.
Right. Well, Charles, I applaud your courage and the courage of ISGAP. And if you and the listening audience would like to follow ISGAP and the work they're doing in fighting against anti-Semitism, you can go to ISGAP.org. That's ISGAP.org, ISGAP.org. They have a wonderful informational, educational website. They have videos, podcasts, articles that you can read to keep up with what's happening presently in Israel, what's happening in this fight against anti-Semitism. You can go to their website and help them financially in this fight. They're up against a Goliath, and we need more leaders like Charles that are righteous, godly leaders that are taking on this fight with courage. So Charles, thank you so much again for being with me today, and I just say God bless you, my friend.
And God bless you and your listeners and the United States of America. We need to be strong.
Thank you, Charles. And again, if you'd like to follow Charles, you can go to ISGAP.org. That's ISGAP.org. And we'll see you next time on Israel and You.